Hello and welcome. This is Hard Reset from BigIfTrue.org on KXRW 99.9 FM in Vancouver, Washington. I'm JC Cortez in Vancouver, Washington.
I'm Justin Sanders in Houston, Texas.
And I'm Molly Bryant. I'm the founder of Big If True, and I am here in Oklahoma City.
Today on the show, news burnout. A constant flood of information about COVID-19 is taking its toll on some of us as we attempt to keep up with what's happening during trying circumstances.
Yeah, we're going to talk about why people avoid the news altogether and some of the ways you can stay informed while still holding on to your sanity.
Also, why we should get away from the conventional wisdom that journalists have to be objective and bias-free to do their jobs.
So, Molly, when we're talking about news fatigue, can you tell me kind of what brought this up, what we're talking about, what effect this has on people?
So, I have talked to several people about news burnout because it's something that we're all kind of dealing with, I think. Basically, news fatigue is just the feeling of being exhausted by the news, and it could be like the amount of news or just the content itself might be overwhelming to people. And my interest in this, I totally have news fatigue. There's just been so much going on for months. Even if we're just starting from, you know, the point of the impeachment proceedings that happened. And now we've moved into a whole different kind of crisis in COVID-19 in the United States. So there are a ton of news stories connected to that that are just kind of a constant right now. What it looks like, I do have a couple examples of that. So I talked to someone named H.T. Ellis. He's a microbiologist for a biotech company in Seattle. And he started dealing with news fatigue for the first time during the 2016 election cycle.
I am someone who gets annoyed pretty easily by repetitive things. So whether it's a song playing over and over again or a topic being repeatedly discussed with nothing else coming up at all, I get pretty irritated. And I think it's because I just kind of already have a lot going on. And there's a lot of pressure that's coming upon many of us as many people are working from home and the labor force is reduced. And so kind of the last thing I want to hear about is the same thing over and over again, especially when there's nothing that I can do about it. So it kind of manifests itself in a way of just irritation, some kind of low-grade anxiety, kind of like a flight or fight response. You know, whenever I hear people talking about it, I just want to isolate myself and try to go on with life as normal, but it's really difficult these days.
I also spoke with Catherine Sweeney. She is based in Washington, D.C. She's a freelance reporter and writer, and I talked to her last week about her news fatigue.
It was really rough yesterday, and I think that I just kind of hit that point where reading everything that comes out stopped feeling productive, kind of like you were saying, it feels counterproductive. You know, I'm trying to keep in touch with what's going on back home. All of my family is still in Oklahoma, and so I'm trying to keep up with that. But I think that what really started sending it over the edge was reading a lot of these stories about people kind of manipulating the system, and, you know, loopholes, and a lot of just like sad exploitative stuff is happening, but there's not really a lot I can do about it. So I'm just reading about all of these injustices, and there's not really anything to vote for, right? Or there's nothing to attend, there's nothing to donate to in these specific cases. And so it was just getting kind of crushing. And all the while, another thing that happened yesterday, I left my house for the first time in about a week, and I was walking around and seeing all the shops and restaurants and all the things in my neighborhood either dark or having signs all over them that say takeout only, you know. And I think that it became real. And I have friends in the service industry and friends who are contractors like me, and our jobs are drying up. And it just kind of all hit a point where it was just so sad. And thinking about like how uncertain it is and what is this going to do to workers across the country and for how long, and when is this supposed to be over? We still don't know. And what are going to be the long-term effects here? We still don't have answers for that. So I'm just reading more and more sad things and still not getting any answers yet because they can't exist. So I think it just kind of hit a point where I realized I did need to be intentional about what I'm reading to stay, you know, an informed citizen, and what am I supposed to be doing to keep, you know, myself and my community healthy, and things like that. And I think that, you know, of course, to be an informed member of society, I want to keep reading about like what's happening with our government and funding and Congress and on state level, how things are playing out. But I think I can't just unabashedly take in every single thing that's coming out about COVID-19 right now. It just, it got to be a little too much.
Yeah. So there's a ton of stuff there, Molly, that I definitely can relate to right now. I think the first thing was something that Dr. Ella said, and made me think like one of the big driving factors right now behind news fatigue is there's just a vacuum of all other news. People are stuck in their houses. They've canceled sporting events. There's really nothing else that it seems to be part of like the national conversation right now. And something that Catherine Sweeney said as well, and I think a huge problem for me personally has been finding reliable sources of information about what's going on with COVID-19. I feel like this is the first time in a long time where I found it difficult to kind of know if what I was reading was reliable or not, because you're seeing information from so many sources. So this is like, this story is changing so often and there's so much out there about it. It seems like all of my traditional alarm bells and like detection systems for like, is this coming from a reliable outlet or like who is saying this? It's kind of all like thrown up into flux right now because there's just so much going on this one topic. And that makes it really hard to kind of pay attention to the news and not get discouraged. But I think both of our interviews we listened to kind of mentioned that.
Well, one other thing, Catherine Sweeney talked about being very intentional, having to kind of step back and look at the news sources that make sure that you are consuming what you need to still be like a functional and productive member of the society, and to not just check out completely, which I definitely had to fight. I left a journalism job around 2016, right before the election, and right after that, like I was so consumed with news and just completely killed myself with that. So I definitely identify with that.
I'm Ollie Bryant. You're listening to Hard Reset on KXRW 99.9 FM in Vancouver, Washington, and we will be back in a minute. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about why people avoid the news and some solutions to dealing with news burnout.
Radio Like This is brought to you by the generous support by our founding sponsors at Adco Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. Adco features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at adco1.com. That's ADCO, the number 1.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to KXRW 99.9 FM in Vancouver, Washington. I'm Molly Bryant. I'm here with JC Cortez and Justin Sanders. We're going to continue our conversation on news fatigue. Yeah, getting back to what we were talking about earlier. So I talked to Benjamin Toff. He's an assistant professor at the Hubbard School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Minnesota. And he and his research partner, her name's Ruth Palmer, they interviewed people in the UK and Spain who were avoiding the news, and they found some similar stuff.
This was one of the first things we really focused on, was the extent to which among the news avoiders, the way that they talked about news was largely about the emotions that they felt when they tried to engage. And this is not everybody. News avoidance is, there's a you know, a variety of different reasons why some people are not accessing news. But for a significant segment of that group, it came down to the sense that news was doom and gloom, upsetting, created a lot of anxiety. And many of these individuals also described themselves as being people who had a lot of anxiety generally. And so avoiding news was a strategy for how to navigate the world and sort of tune out the things that they felt were too overwhelming and upsetting. There's not a whole lot of research on the subject, but it does seem to be the case that, you know, anxiety causes most people to seek out more information. They want to sort of find, if you have this desire to know, need to know what's happening. We see that, we've seen that in other episodes in the past when it comes to stories about terrorism or stories about other crises. Sometimes that can be, I think that the sort of standard political science view had often been that that was often a good thing, that anxiety is a signal to people to seek out useful information about some kind of contentious or risk, you know, emergency situation. But it has some potential downsides, especially if there are organizations or politicians who are trying to exploit that and sort of direct people's attention in maybe less positive ways. I think in our current situation, there's, and thinking about the people I've interviewed who describe themselves as having a lot of anxiety, I haven't gone to do any follow-up interviews with them, but I wonder, you know, many of them had expressed having gone through periods in their life previously, whether it was September 11th or the financial crisis or events of terrorism, where they felt this kind of compulsive need to know, and they actually engaged extensively with news, and they had made an active decision, deliberate decision to actively avoid news because they found it too overwhelming, and they found for their own mental health they needed to tune it out. And I suspect there's probably going to be a lot of people who are feeling that right now, given what's going on.
The next thing I want to talk about is this other side. So, like, obviously journalists are doing really essential work, but it feels like there's such a risk for burnout during this time because, you know, everyone's dealing with this on a personal level, and journalists are also having to deal with this, and people in other professions, you know, are having to deal with this on a professional level. And then, you know, at the end of the day, still deal with their problems. So I talked to Alana Newman. She's a professor of psychology at the University of Tulsa, and also she's the research director for the DART Center of Journalism and Trauma. And she said something that really surprised me.
I think what we also know, and I think what makes some events harder to report on than others, is that it's personally affecting us all as citizens. And we've seen this in communities where people are covering their own communities, where there's community violence. You see it when people live in a disaster zone. And I think what is probably unique is that we're all in a disaster zone, so to speak, and that we are all grappling with our own feelings and reactions and concerns. And so I think that acknowledging that is an essential part of trying to make sense of this and thinking about our own reactions. I also train clinical psychologist students on how to become clinical psychologists. And in clinical psychology, there's a tradition of having students, and this is true in most mental health, acknowledge their own emotional state so that they can be more objective. And I think there's a history in journalism training that in order to be more objective, you ignore your emotional state.
Wow. So that actually, that idea kind of blows my mind. So can you explain why acknowledging that would make you more objective?
Well, our view is, and it's a scientific view, is if you know your biases and your feelings and you're aware of them, then you can keep them out of your either engagement with your research. You can think about a confounder if you're with a client. If you know that something's going to set you off, you have strategies in place so that you can really focus on the other person and not let your stuff, whatever it is, get in the way.
Okay, gotcha. And
so I think the same thing is true for journalism, is that by acknowledging, I'm not saying introducing your own fears into the conversation, but by acknowledging your own fears, this is scary. People are going to die. It could be someone I love. It could be me. I could be toxic. All of those things, by knowing what it is that you're worrying about and being able to even put it in a box, you know, when you're there, you will be able to better engage with your sources and with your community and your coverage.
Yeah, so this is revolutionary for me, to be honest. And I feel like other people in other professions could get something out of this. But like in journalism, you're supposed to be so objective and so free of biases and just put all of that, like you don't even have that. It's not that you're putting it aside. It's like it doesn't exist. And like from the most prominent news organizations on down, like for instance the New York Times White House correspondent Peter Baker, he said he doesn't even vote because he feels like it would take away from his, you know, sense of objectivity. And I feel like we really need to get away from that and kind of approach things how she's recommending, just so that we can continue to function as journalists and, you know, people in other fields who are, you know, dealing with the public or other difficult things during the COVID-19 crisis.
It's a fascinating perspective for sure. And I love the way that she related it back to clinical psychology, because that's a great example of an industry where they've already figured out that if you're afraid to confront your own, you know, feelings on something, how are you going to help other people with that? And I think relating that to journalism, especially in a time like this, is just a really smart point.
You're listening to Hard Reset on KXRW 99.9 FM in Vancouver, Washington. I'm JC Cortez. I'm here with Justin Sanders and Molly Bryant. And we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation on news burnout and find out some solutions on avoiding it.
Many thanks to our friends at Say Chow Catering, Columbia River Tap Room and Eatery. Chef Peter has been cooking for over 20 years in the Vancouver area. Private events, including wine tasting, wine dinners, appetizer parties, and cooking demos. Say Chow Tap Room and Eatery boasts space for private events or drop-in for a quick refreshment and live music on Thursday and Friday evenings. Just a stone's throw away from the Columbia River, Say Chow, Greater Vancouver's premier catering company. Conveniently located at 2501 Southeast Columbia Way, Suite 270 in Vancouver. More information available at www.say-chow.com. That's www.say-chiao.com, or directly at 360-210-5522.
Big shout out to our friends at Vancouver Pizza Company for supporting KXRW Vancouver. This family-owned pizza restaurant offers 25 specialty pizzas along with fresh salads, hot sandwiches, wings, and their famous breadstick. The spacious dining room is a great place to gather and play board games. Can't come in? Ask for delivery or pickup. Their delivery area also includes our friends in North Portland. Vancouver Pizza Company also specializes in large groups, birthday parties, and catering. More information available at vancouverpizza.net.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to Hard Reset on KXRW 99.9 FM in Vancouver, Washington. I'm JC Cortez, and we're back with Molly Bryant.
We were just talking about feelings in journalism and kind of how we ignore them, and another route could be to actually pay attention to them. And here is another parallel to psychology that I hadn't thought about before from Alana Newman.
I'm not yet really worried about post-traumatic stress disorder because we're not anywhere in a post phase.
Yeah.
This is a long term. So I think that I am worried over time. Witnessing the grief and pain of other people is going to be hard. And journalists have done it before. They're not new to it, but this is going to be, I think, relentless. And sitting with other people's fear is going to be really hard. And I think those are things that are going to be challenges, occupational challenges.
Well, you know, it sounds like that's also kind of the job of a psychologist. So how do people in your field deal with, you know, taking in other people's grief in a sense?
I think that that's why self-care, it's not a luxury. And I think journalists sometimes think about it, oh, it's mamby-pamby, it's a luxury. I think that taking care of yourself is really important. So again, knowing your own triggers and what's difficult for you, creating strategies that help you. So, I mean, there are a million strategies that people use, but I think that, and they're all individual, but I think that I would encourage journalists to think about what has gotten them through hard stories before, what has gotten them through hard times before that has been successful and adaptive, and trying to think about what is it that I need to do to continue to be effective. So after I've been with someone in pain, what is it that would be helpful? Is there a ritual I could do? Was it good to take a walk if you're in an environment where you can take a walk? Do I need a minute to meditate? Do I need a minute to think about something beautiful? There's lots of strategies that people use. They may not even be aware of it. But thinking very consciously about strategies that have helped people before when they've witnessed grief, and actively cultivating those while they're doing their storytelling, while they're doing their news gathering, while they're working, will be helpful.
So what I noticed there that touches back on something that we talked about earlier is the idea of being very intentional with how you deal with this. That it just takes knowing what it takes to be a healthy person, to be a healthy citizen, to take care of your own mental health, that when there are issues and they're causing stress, they're causing burnout, like we can identify them. And I think the problem is that the way that we instinctually deal with these problems is not the way that is healthiest.
To kind of, you know, come full circle, I talked to H.T. Ellis and Catherine Sweeney about, you know, like what they're doing now to kind of get through this time right now with news fatigue and COVID-19.
The benefits of my mental health to, you know, ignoring as much as I can, it's helped me out a lot, because in 2016, I felt like I was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. And I know many other people felt that way. So by learning how to kind of check out, I've maintained a sense of sanity over the past few years. And I kind of came to the conclusion that there's very little that I can do to change what's going on in the news. All I can do is, in the case of COVID-19, take care of my personal hygiene, stay away from other people to try to prevent spreading it, and you know, help out where I can. But hearing every single detail, I don't have that fear of missing out that other people might be experiencing right now, where they hyperindulge in news.
Yeah, so that was H.T. Ellis in Seattle. This is Catherine Sweeney in D.C.
I think that I have a habit that I know a lot of other people do of being like way too online. So I was just, you know, looking at Twitter, my landing page, nonstop for hours at a time and just feeling awful, and just kept going back to it. There's this like weird, unproductive compulsion to like keep looking at it. And it wasn't productive. And I think that I've just needed to like cut my screen time and also just make it, again, more intentional. Like there are reporters who are covering it who are doing really well and like sharing information that's really helpful. And I think that there's something very different about seeking them out and reading that, or like reading outlets that you care about and getting their COVID-19 news, as opposed to just seeing like one-off messages over and over. You know, my grandma's sick. I just saw a man like lost in the grocery store and there's nothing there for him. I mean, all these like anecdotes flooding you is a little different than like reading, you know, policy coverage or like updates on what's happening with the state epidemiologist.
And also Benjamin Toff, the researcher on news avoidance, here's kind of what he is doing right now.
I think across the board, we all need to be, those of us who are isolating at home, which increasingly looks like everybody, will be in that boat, finding ways to take breaks. I went for a walk yesterday for an hour just to decompress and focus on other things. I think scheduling that time, I think, is going to become increasingly important. Making some decisions around how to make time for not thinking about news, I think, is necessary as a strategy to not get burned out. I don't see any other way.
This is one last thing. I talked to Brooke Binkowski. She is based in San Diego. She is the managing editor of the debunking site, trutherfiction.com. I asked for a friend, wink, wink, job burnout. I asked her about that because it's something that she's dealt with in the past. So this kind of connects to something that Alana Newman said. So when I was speaking with her, she mentioned that one thing that can be really empowering for journalists who are covering the story is to remember the mission of what they're doing. I think this can apply to, again, you know, any industry. Here is Brooke Binkowski.
It's just going to be this constant flood. So I think the best thing that I can say to you and to all of us really is don't be afraid to tap out when you have to. Give yourself a day. You know, if something really horrible happens, everybody's going to text you or tag you on Twitter or send you an email or call you. You know, I mean, you have to give your brain a break. And I'm saying this as somebody who almost never does. And then when I do, I'm like, oh my God, I feel so much better. And that's kind of what we all have to do from time to time, because we only have, you know, so much work we can do, and we only have so much we can produce before it takes a toll on us. And we can't let ourselves fall to this. We can't buy into the sort of forces that benefit from a whole burned out cadre of journalists, because look what happens when we're not around. You know, it becomes totalitarian.
What she was saying there, like, after we talked, I've continued to think about that, like, how important it is to remember why you do what you do, whatever that is. The role that everyone plays has some value. And just if we can kind of like focus on that and, you know, as a way of continuing to go forward.
Well, I feel like that would help exactly what my problem was. You know, because I felt like I wasn't changing things. I felt like every new news story was just kind of, it wasn't adding anything new. Like I wanted to act as much as I could, unless things were really going to go crazy and, you know, people are going to take to the streets. Like there's no reasonable action to take. You're at your end. And so remembering that there are steps that you can take, standing back, being intentional about your mental health, being intentional about the work that you're doing and the mission that you have as an individual and as your function. I totally believe in that, and I think that would have helped me, and I hope that it helps other people. Okay, so that was today's episode. Today's episode was hosted by JC Cortez and Justin Sanders. This episode was produced by me and Molly Bryan.
Our theme is Oh No by Hartle Road.
Hard Reset is a podcast from BigIfTrue.org. Learn more at BigIfTrue.org/about.